Good morning, church family. We come to our final devotion in Psalm 13. I trust you turn there in your Bibles again. Listen to Isaac Watts as he puts this psalm to rhyme in his masterful way. How long, O Lord, shall I complain like one that seeks his God in vain? Canst thou thy face forever hide, and I still pray and be denied? Shall I forever be forgot as one whom thou regardest not? Still shall my soul thine absence mourn, and still despair of thy return. How long shall my poor troubled breast be with these anxious thoughts oppressed, and Satan, my malicious foe, rejoice to see me sunk so low? We'll get the rest of it at the end in a moment. Three sections we've been finding here, three steps, you could say, to go from sinking to swimming, from despairing to praising. We've seen verse 1 and 2, pleading. David is below sea level. Then we saw praying, verses 3 and 4. He's at sea level. And then how do we get above sea level? Verses 5 and 6 here, praising. Now we're on a high note. Now comes the good news. And David does ride off into the sunset. And this story has a sweet ending to it. Look at verse 5. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. The prayer of verse 3 is now being answered in verse 5. Remember, he said, consider, answer me, O Lord my God, enlighten my eyes. And God is opening David's eyes to see what? To see God, to a bigger, larger, higher, truer view of the trustworthiness, the faithfulness, specifically here, the chesed, the loyal love, the steadfast, faithful, unchanging love of his God, your God, our God in Christ. Notice the problem is not that God forgets us. No, the problem is we forget him. We forget one of his grandest attributes, one of his most prominent characteristics throughout the Old Testament, and supremely in the cross of Christ, and now this side of Calvary, his grace, or as David puts it here, his loving kindness, his covenant mercies. The more we meditate on God's great love for us in Christ, beloved, the harder it is to believe he could ever forget us. The closer I stay to the shadow of Calvary, the more ridiculous it seems to ever think that God would turn his face on me. The more I grasp of how God abandoned his own son at Golgotha in my place, the more assured I am that because of Christ's sacrifice, God could never abandon me. Nothing could separate me from his love. That's why we need the Lord's table. We pray that we'll be able to come back to the Lord's table very soon to remember Jesus, his broken body, his shed blood, his unfailing love. I'm craving for that table. It's been far too long, has it not? Christ was forsaken that we might be embraced forever. Christ was rejected that we might be adopted and loved with a never dying, never stopping, unfailing, always and forever love. Verse 5, but I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. Instead of his enemies, remember verse 4, rejoicing in his defeat, a loud, victorious military shout of jubilation, David's heart is celebrating and jubilant over his Lord and his great salvation. The last song will be for God's child, not the world, because Christ will have the last word. We all have differing pain thresholds, do we not? Discuss that at your table talk today. The differing number of hidings each individual child needs before they get the point. True for all of us, as adults as well, and our faith threshold. We each have different points to which we can trust that God still loves us, beyond which we despair and we fear that he's forgotten us. Like David here in this psalm. Maybe you think, oh, I could trust God through the loss of, sounds like the story of Job, doesn't it? Maybe some of my possessions, maybe even my job, maybe even some of my health, you know, to a point. But the loss of a spouse, a child, a grandchild, I'm not so sure. At what point might my faith tap out? And so it is, beloved. As we see so often in the Psalms and throughout Scripture, God is in the business of extending our faith thresholds. Like with Abraham at Mount Moriah, called to sacrifice his own most precious Isaac, the ultimate test of faith. But take heart, Christian. Be encouraged, my brother, my sister in the faith. God will bring you through just as he does here for David. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 and 13. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. But no temptation, trial, no test has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tested beyond what you are able to bear. And with the temptation, he'll provide a way of escape. Verse 6, I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. He has treated me great generously. In other words, he has been good to me. While my enemies wish to deal cruelly with me, God only wishes me good, only wants to deal bountifully with all of us who are in Christ as his redeemed, as his people. What a way to end. Will you end your day that way today? Your week, your year, your life? Somebody said, whatever you answered 5 years ago when someone said, where would you like to be in 5 years? I bet that just changed with Corona. We don't know. It's out of our hands because it's in a much better set of hands. The sovereign God of heaven, our loving, faithful Heavenly Father. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Think of my grandma, my dad's mom. After living in her home 40 plus years, she had to move into old age facility. And amidst all of her aches and pains into her 90s, she became the fragrance of that old age facility. She spread kindness and thankfulness to all around. She couldn't stop thanking the workers there, bragging about the simple gardens, showing concern for others. I praise the Lord, even the parents that God has given both Michelle and me, in their ailing bodies and in their trials and in their 70s and 80s. And my parents, two or three flight cancellations, bags packed, suitcases in their lounge there for a week. Not a word of complaint. Content, trusting, rejoicing always in the Lord, overflowing with thankfulness. This kind of song on their lips, and it can be on your lips. We serve the same God. But I have rejoiced in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Below sea level, pleading. At sea level, praying. And finally, we've seen above sea level, praising. John Calvin's dying words on his deathbed. How long? How long? And so David begins sobbing, but he ends singing. How did he get there? How does he go from pleading to praising, from drowning to delight? He does it through prayer. The middle section, verses 3 and 4, crying out to God, a prayer that wrestles with the Lord, like Jacob at the Jabbok River at Peniel. Like Epaphras in Colossians 4, wrestling with God, like the early church in the book of Acts, crying out to the Lord, like the martyrs around the throne and during the days of tribulation in Revelation chapter 6. How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you avenge our blood upon our persecutors, upon our enemies? Later in Israel's history, an entire generation would feel like King David had felt here. In Isaiah's day, the nation felt sure God had abandoned them, forgotten them forever. And so the prophet Isaiah comforts them. Remember, as we saw over Passion Week and Easter, throughout Isaiah 40 through 66 with glorious promise after promise and comfort after comfort. For example, Isaiah 49, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Is it possible that a woman forget her nursing child and cease to have compassion on a son born of her womb? And we know the answer is unthinkable. Never would a father might forget his child, but not a mother. But Isaiah knows better in this evil, fallen world. And so Isaiah 49 concludes, ah, even these, human love, even these forget. But as for me, the Lord says, I am unable to forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. As Revelation 11 reassures us, God's people, Israel, are never forgotten. And so it is for all who are in Christ. God knows you. He remembers you, beloved, like the palm of his hand. What even a mother may forget, God cannot forget. His bond of love for all who are in Christ surpasses the deepest of human affections and the strongest of earthly ties. What a contrast. The French atheist Voltaire on his deathbed, wailing, crying out, I'm abandoned by God and man. On the cross, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But on the third day, Jesus rose from the grave, proved he was the Son of God, able to save us from our sins. Do you know this, Lord Jesus Christ? Are you saved? Have you truly come to a personal, saving, living, transforming relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as your comfort, your lover, your Savior, your Lord and Master? And friend, because Jesus was forsaken on the cross, we never need to sink in despair like Voltaire's dark dungeon. Instead, we can cry with Paul in Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Does God seem far away, beloved? Never has he come nearer to us than in the person of his Son, Emmanuel, God with us. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace and truth freely available to all who will embrace the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith. Back to Isaac Watts. Hear, Lord, and grant me quick relief. Before my death, conclude my grief. If thou withhold thy heavenly light, I sleep in everlasting night. How will the powers of darkness boast if but one praying soul be lost? But I have trusted in thy grace and shall again behold thy face. Whate'er my fears or foes suggest, thou art my hope, my joy, my rest. My heart shall feel thy love and raise my cheerful voice to songs of praise. Amen. God bless you.